Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Street Universe. This is Green Magic, Green Medicine with your hostess, Miss Susan Weed. And here we go with our plug. We'll be right back.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
You heard was the lovely voice of Miss Ashley Cash. And why am I mentioning that? Well, I mention that because she has been the voice of the theme song that you just heard from Main Street Universe for about a year now, maybe about a year and a half. We started with another one, then we went to her. And not only that, she is going to be on our album as well as on the Main Street Universe Network as a host, as one of the once a month shows that we're doing with her and her husband, the amazing Jim Cash, a guitar player who is also throwing some guitar work on our album. So we're sort of borrowing another band to help us complete our album right now, and that band is Woven Green, and it was a song by them. So I want to thank them both for all of their time that they have put into working on our song, working on our future songs, and they have my most deepest thanks and appreciation for doing so. And now you are listening to Green Magic, Green Medicine with your hostess, Miss Susan Weed, and I do see she is in the queue, so I'm going to go ahead and bring her on. Sorry, it was on my throat. Welcoming green blessings, Susan Weed.
Good, green blessings to you. And this must be one of those mice that has moved into your throat since the weather is getting cold outside.
I think perhaps.
Yes, since all the small wee creatures are saying, maybe we should come inside for the winter, and sometimes ones even bigger than small. Like occasionally we get a raccoon who decides, oh, I think your attic would be the perfect place to den up for the winter. And then
yes,
we have to convince the raccoon. No, it would not be the perfect place at all. As a matter of fact, the house that I'm living in when I bought it had not been lived in for 4 years, and the raccoons had moved in.
Ah.
And it was not the better for their wear. At all.
Now,
so, it sounds like you are still in the process of doing your new album.
Yes, but it started back up again. What happened is I'm in a situation that you might not be an NFL football fan, but I'm saying, but a coach in football likes to know I'm kind of in that situation. I got two good quarterbacks. It's called the problem that you want. I have two amazing female singers that are now involved in the project, which I wanted one, but now there's two. I'm happy to incorporate them both, to be honest, and that's probably what might happen. However, the one has a full-time gig somewhere else. I'm not trying to drag this out, but I'm just saying the one definitely has been working on her own band for like 9 years or something, and the other one is new and excited, and now it's like I have a problem that someone wants. I got two amazingly talented people that want to be involved. So I think I would just say I'm just going to let them both be involved and just let the chips fall where they may, and rather than trying to dictate it or dominate it or change it in any way. Just let it happen.
That sounds like a very wise idea.
And I have a brief question right before we get started.
To be inclusive.
Exactly.
Yes, to be inclusive. It's what I don't like about the word high, or about people talking about being high. Because high always seems to me to be very exclusive, and there's always the lower if one is high.
Like, I'm here, but you're there, but I'm here, I'm high.
Right.
I'm a little better than you.
Right. So I like to think about, you know, rather than my higher self, I like to think about my more expansive self. I like to think about my more flexible self.
I like, my friend Kevin had the word, because some people said, you know, spirit guide is a piggyback of a Native American term or whatever. I like when he said, it's a companion. Companion. Rather than a guide. Or a, you know, there's so many ways to do this, right? We can just take things and make them sound not so either political or either cultural and just make them sound as they are. But I do have a question for you before we get the ball rolling, and I know we will. And it's a brief question. I had an experience of, I have, you know, when you put on socks, you put socks on.
Yeah.
And my legs were a little bit swollen right above the sock line on the same knee that where I had the bad knee. And I'm curious, now I know people have called that like edema, they've called it all sorts of things. It actually has calmed down now since I've changed a few things. But I was curious of your opinion of, if I think you know what I mean, like when you put socks on and they're tight and you have them on all day, and then, but the my leg was fatter on one side than it was on the other leg. Like it was swollen on one leg and not the next.
Yes. The circulatory system of the body has an active output and a passive return.
Ah.
So the heart beats and it pushes blood out through the arteries. So there's an active output of the heart into the arteries, which pushes blood through the arteries and into the capillaries and thus to the cells.
Okay.
And that's great. That means the cells are getting oxygen and nourishment. But what the cells do is, as they take the oxygen and nourishment from the blood, they fill up the space that oxygen and nourishment was taking with waste products from cellular metabolism.
Mm.
And so the blood then carries away what the cell doesn't want. But in order for the blood to return, after it goes to the kidneys and gets rid of all of that, in order for it to return, it goes through the veins, which don't have a pump. The veins are just kind of hanging out there, right?
Right.
Now, they have little gates, those veins, so that as the blood pumps into the capillary bed, the return capillaries, the venous capillaries, are, of course, at least a little affected by this and pushes the blood up a little bit and the gates close, right? And when this is not happening well, when the vein little gates are not closing well, then fluid can leak out. In the extreme case, we get a varicose vein.
Right.
And in the not-so-extreme case, we get mild swelling and sometimes achiness in the legs as well. And actually, in earlier ages, this used to be known as water on the knee.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, eh?
Yeah.
And heart remedies that help the heart are actually more important here than joint remedies. Certainly things like diuretics, which can reduce blood pressure.
Right.
and thus allow the blood to flow more freely through the veins can be helpful, like stinging nettle, but also consider hawthorn and or motherwort.
Hmm.
The stinging nettle would probably give you the fastest result because of the diuretic action. It will help wring those excess fluids out of the cells. And usually within a couple of hours of starting to drink stinging nettle, the flow of fluid from the cells is strong enough to make one look for a place to empty your bladder.
Right.
Yeah.
And
that, interestingly enough, and I think we've talked about this before, the diuretic effect of nettle is not like a drug diuretic. In other words, a drug diuretic keeps leaching things from your kidneys, whether you need it or not, whereas nettle's diuretic action merely takes excess fluid from the body. And when you're back to an appropriate fluid level for your body, it stops doing it.
Mm.
So it's not like a drug diuretic in that way. It's also not like a drug diuretic in that many drug diuretics leach potassium. And nettle is loaded with potassium. So it works in many respects the opposite of a drug diuretic, although we get the same beneficial results. We don't have any of the problematic side effects.
Now, I did actually recently, it has gotten better, if you want to know, and I did actually make some nettle infusion, and I actually still have some sitting in a jar, actually. But I did actually do that, as well as I have, you know, doing construction work, you sometimes wear some very tight equipment, and so I was wondering whether it was like, you know, tight boots, tight socks, you know, that kind of stuff. Maybe, you know, I just kind of was walking around without socks and shoes for the evening. And it does seem to have improved dramatically, actually. It's still there a bit. It's like a little bit fluffier, puffier, a little swollen, but it has dramatically improved. But it was something that sort of, you know, startled me a little bit. I just sort of, you know, sort of took the socks off, and I was like, wait, it was that part of my leg is way fatter than the other. And so I thought I would open with that. Forgive me, I know it's more like your other show where people call in and ask for something.
No, it's wonderful. It's great. You know, it's very seamless from that show to this show. And yeah, and how appropriate. And I, you know, it's one of the reasons that I really enjoy my time with you, because I find that I have no sense of you better get it together, you better be fast, you better have a lot of information. Like this show, I tell you, Daniel, I just feel like you and I can just like talk about what's important to us, and that it's not going to bore people.
Right. We're just going to go at...
I don't mean that in a narcissistic way.
I know what you mean. I think you mean it in a way that when you find somebody to relate to, then you just talk to, and then it just happens naturally. Not too much effort. It just goes. And
right.
And people are interested in that because they have a lot of fake crap thrown at them all the time.
Yes, and it's not as though every week I call in here and you say, okay, here's the problem of the week, Susan.
Right.
Right. So this is just one in the wonderful smorgasbord of topics that we have covered. And
yeah.
I also find that people feel reassured when they find that other people have odd things happen to them too.
Right.
Right. You know, we all kind of... because we want so much to be perfect, we kind of believe that everybody else is already perfect. And
or,
it's very reassuring when we discover it. Well, actually, we're all humans.
And there's one thing that I agreed with you upon, and that is how everybody is always looking for the perfect diet with a label. I get that so much. And I mean, from people I love dearly. I'm like, no, I don't think fruitarian is the way. I don't think vegan is the way. I don't think any of that is the way. And I think you and I see on the same page on that. It's like, why does it have to have a label?
Isn't it about time for breatharianism to come back? Do you remember the people who used to go around saying, I live only on air?
I've heard only on sunlight before.
There you go. The photosynthesizing.
Yes.
Yes.
Where,
I brought to our conversation tonight three little jars that smell very, very good. You know, people sometimes get upset with me because I tell them that essential oils are not plant medicine and they're not good for your health. And we've talked about this several times.
Yes,
here on the show. And so I like to offer people alternatives to that. And I think about Mary Rose, a wonderful massage therapist, and a friend of mine, past apprentice, who started something called natural scent therapy. And the idea that if we want to use aromatherapy, if we want to use scent as an aid to healing, then we want to use the natural scents of plants. And that we could use the living plant, like a living rosemary plant or a living lavender plant or even a living mint plant. And that we could also use the dried herbs. And we can use those dried herbs either by having the dried herb in the room and running our hands through it and letting some of those volatile oils out, or by smudging, which is the burning of dried herbs, and the burning of dried herbs to evoke certain memories and certain learned states of consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah, smell is very, very deeply associated
with
different states of consciousness. And it's one of the quickest and easiest ways to train ourselves to move through different states of consciousness is to give ourselves scent triggers. All the major religions know this. Right. That's why they all have certain specific smells that go with them. And we can do this ourselves, whether we are burning plants that we have bought. And almost any scented plant can be burned, or whether we are looking specifically to make something that's more like an incense, the burning of resins and so on. Now, being of an age and coming of an age during the movement of incense from India into the United States and being exposed to a lot of incense and a lot of different incenses and some very fine incense, it, of course, made me interested in incense. It made me an incense burner until I read that people who are around burning incense double their risk of lung cancer. Particulate matter is particulate matter is particulate matter. And I had a mom who smoked cigarettes when she was pregnant with me, as well as throughout my entire time of living at home. So that actually, strangely enough, makes me at greater risk for lung cancer than her. And that information put the end to my burning of incense. In fact, really cut down on the amount of time that I smudge as well. But like all people, I like the scent of herbs. So if I'm not going to burn them, if I'm not going to burn incense, and I'm not going to burn smudge, and I will admit that I do sometimes burn sweetgrass, only a little bit of it, but I really have a very strong association with sweetness and the smell of sweetgrass. And if I'm in away from home teaching in a situation in which something is making me feel tense, just a little bit of sweetgrass will just turn that corner for me. So what I have been introduced to and what I am absolutely thrilled with are fresh plant material that has been infused into coconut oil. And the coconut oil turns out to be the perfect medium for absorbing and stabilizing the odors of the plants. Coconut oil is a wonderful oil because, of course, at cool room temperature, it's quite solid. But as soon as it hits the body, it liquefies. So you know the apprentices are here. I'm going to pass the first one of these out to the apprentices. And this is sage in coconut oil. And when you smell that, you think, why would I need essential oil? The smell of the sage is so magnificent in this coconut oil. And it's the actual sage plant. It's not a concentrated oil of any kind.
Or powder and or it, whatever, the nonsense.
Yeah. And this is Kumba made, K-U-U-M-B-A, Kumba made. And here you would think, oh, well, that sage is so wonderful. What could possibly be better? Well, here is her lavender oil. And people have told me after smelling this lavender oil, they say, oh, how could I even possibly think of going back to using the essential oil of lavender after I smell this? It's like this has all of that, the smell of the lavender, and yet it has the heart of the lavender as well. And when you compare this to the harshness of the oils, you really start to see what Mary Rose and others are getting at when they talk about natural scent therapy and how the therapy is in the natural scent. It's not in that concentrated essential oil. And then my absolute favorite, the one that is in fact almost gone, that is jasmine in coconut oil. It's the fresh flowers of the jasmine. And the coconut oil just, it makes you think that there's a jasmine plant in the room blooming. And you know how sometimes the scent, even from the plant, can be almost overwhelming, and yet there's something about the coconut oil that focuses it so that it is not that way. It doesn't make your head swim. These are beautiful, beautiful things. And let me say again, this is K-U-U-M-B-A, Kumba Made. Kumba, M-A-D-E, Kumba Made. And I think that's where you'll find her and find these wonderful scents in coconut oil. Or obviously you can make them yourself if you have jasmine flowers and white sage and lavender blossoms. You can just infuse them in coconut oil or anything else you want. If you haven't been playing around with coconut oil, and I know many people have been bringing it into their kitchen because Sally Fallon has been hard at work popularizing coconut oil. And so I often say to people, you know, if you kind of thought that coconut oil was really good for you and you bought some coconut oil and you found, like I, that while it may be very good for you, it makes your food taste like coconut, which while I do not object to it, I do not find to be my most favorite flavor in the world, especially on all my food. And so if you, like I, have the rest of that jar of coconut oil lurking in your refrigerator, grab it out there and start making something wonderfully smelly with it. In many areas of the country, especially where I live, the cold is coming. the scented plants are going to be going away. We're getting a little reprieve here. It's going to be warm this week. Great time to go out and harvest some rosemary, harvest some sage, harvest some mint, harvest some bergamot. What do you have left in your garden that's scented? Stick it in some coconut oil. Again, you'll have to get that coconut oil to just about body temperature. I think it liquefies at like 96, 97 degrees. For most people, just holding it in their hands is enough to get it to liquefy. And in order to get the herbs in it, you need to keep it at a warm-ish temperature. For many people, that just means having it in their kitchen, which stays warm. Or if your water heater is accessible and isn't insulated, you can put it on top of your water heater. That sometimes can be just enough to allow those herbs to impart their smells into the coconut oil. There's a really beautiful plant called melilotus. Mela being honey and lotus being flower. And we have melilotus officinalis and melilotus alba, the yellow sweet clover, the official sweet clover, and the white sweet clover. And both of these sweet clovers are called sweet because they contain a very sweet-smelling and somewhat sweet-tasting compound, although there's a bitter undernote to it. And coconut oil really preserves this beautiful sweet smell from the sweet clover. So you'll need to wait till next summer to get it. What could you harvest right now and stick in your coconut oil? You could harvest cedar needles. The cedar oil is a wonderful oil. And the spirit of the cedar is said to bring deep healing and deep ease. The cedar is a real dancer. And it's often an oil that is recommended for children, for calming children. We think about how many people say that when they walk in a piney woods, they feel more calm. The scents from the pine needles don't seem to impart themselves that well, but if you get some pine resin or some of the pine resin, say, off of a cone, even the scales from the cone, and infuse those in coconut oil, you will get a pretty good, strong smell, as well as the antibacterial qualities of the resin from the pines. But the easiest one to make is any juniper, any cedar, the needles of them, or the the green part of them, in your coconut oil. And again, it's because the coconut oil solidifies then at most cool room temperatures, that preserves that scent for years and years and years. I've made olive oil infusions of scented herbs, and the scent usually dissipates sometimes even within 3 to 4 months. Almost always within 9 to 12 months, the scented oils do not retain the lovely scents of the plants, because they're too open and oxidation occurs and changes them. But the coconut oil gets right around that problem. And people who live in warmer climates keep their coconut oil things, when they aren't using them, in the refrigerator, since their warm climate keeps it too liquefied.
Yes.
Yeah. So those are some odoriferous thoughts for this week as we... in our, what would we call it, our mind's nose, go back. What did people used, what odor did people used to associate with the autumn? The smell of burning leaves. Well, nowadays we have leaf blowers instead of the smell of burning leaves. Huh?
Gasoline.
Right. The smell of autumn is the smell of a leaf blower. So not quite the same aroma. Look around you. What's your aroma landscape? Do you have a special smell for autumn? Is it the smell of apples? Is it the smell of the autumn rains? What is the smell of autumn to you? And with that, I will thank you for running such a fun Main Street universe and inviting us all over to play with you.
And I thank you for joining us. And we completely, I cannot express it. I so much appreciate your time that you give to us. And thank you so much for doing so all of this time. It means a lot
green
to
blessings.
Me.
Green blessings, everyone. And thank you so much. Remember, herbal medicine is people's medicine. It's the medicine that's right outside your door.
Absolutely. And remember, everybody, Main Street Universe. Thank you again, Susan. And it's a show and network reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. Good night.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.